In memory of Father's Day, let's bring a few things to your attention. Write these down if you want. If you can't write them down, go to the website. You can download them there. But top 10 signs you're a dad, or you might be a dad if. All right, top 10 signs. You have strong opinions about the thermostat settings. Why does it get so cold in the winter? You know, you've turned off lights in rooms that nobody's using. Amen. Like, amen. I do that around here. I mean, you grill in weather conditions that would cancel most sporting events. You've said, we'll see, when the answer is clearly already no. No, right? Stephen laughed at that one. You girls have apparently lived with that, right? Oh, we'll see. Yeah, well, that's clearly a no. All right, so let me interpret Stephen for you. You consider a trip to the hardware store a recreational activity. Amen. Who doesn't love going to Home Depot just checking everything out? Hey, wandering around. I love looking at the new tools. You have at least one pair of shoes designated as my lawn mowing shoes. I have lawn mowing shoes. Because you don't want to get that green stuff on your shoes, you know, so you have shoes designated. Mine are steel-toed, steel-planked. They're just my favorite lawn mowing shoes. Keep them right there by the lawnmower, my lawn. How many have lawn mowing shoes? Look at that. That's pretty awesome. Amen. Just smart people. You got them too. Sarah's got them. Sarah, you got lawn mowing shoes? How about two pairs of lawn mowing shoes? You don't get to cut. So it's not that you don't want to. It's just Sarah. See, that's me. I don't want to not take out the garbage. It's just Cheryl beats me. She kills the grass. Cuts it. That was a lot of information from the front row today. That was so good. Yeah. All right. Now, this is true. You fall asleep during movies you picked. I don't know about you, man. I cannot. For me, paying all that money to go to a movie theater just to fall asleep makes no sense at all. So usually my wife is elbowing me because I'm snoring in the third row. Like, who's the guy? It was Lord of the Longest Rings. Remember that one? Or was it, what was it? Lord of what? Lord of the Rings? I called it Lord of the Longest Walk because every time I woke up, they were still walking. I was like, would they finally get to where they're going? This is killing me. I mean, just, okay, sorry. I got carried away there. You've told someone, pull my finger. No? Never mind. It was one of my dad's dad jokes. It was, what did the belly say to the burp? If you keep it down, I'll let you out the back door. It took George a little while to get that one. That was one of my dad's, one of my favorite memories of my dad's dad jokes. You can carry 17 grocery bags in one trip. Amen. Man, I'm telling you. Well, I remember once I went across over here, got a bunch of groceries. Man, I came back with, you know, 10 bags in each hand. I was exhausted. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was bad. All right. Last one. Say amen. All right. You spent years pretending dad jokes are embarrassing when secretly they're your greatest ministry. All right. In light of that, let me give you a few samples for those of you who didn't get it. Are you ready? All right. Why don't skeletons fight with each other? They don't have the guts. I made a baby cry. All right. I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. Was that... Some of these are thinking jokes. All right, last one. Did you hear about the restaurant on the moon? Great food, but no atmosphere. No leg slappers in there. It just kind of blah. So doing a study on dads, looking up dads, and one of the sites that came up was the Public Health Agency of Canada. And the Public Health Agency of Canada has a study out about fathers. And it says, this is a quote right from, I actually had it printed out. It's on my desk. I meant to bring it in, but it's really nice. But it says, many studies suggest that presence matters more than perfection. Children don't need perfect fathers. They need fathers who are present. That's right. Government of Canada, right on the website, right in the Health Agency of Canada website, canada.ca. Here's what they said. They said, they called it a PFI. They said a positive father involvement. If a father is positively involved in a child's life, here's the things that happen if a father's in a child's life. That child will have stability and confidence. That child will have better performance in school. That child will have emotional security. That child will have life skills, resilience, identity, protection, encouragement, and a sense of presence. All of that because a dad is engaged in the home. That's good news, right? That's good stuff right there. So Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed. It doesn't say a father blesses his children, therefore they're blessed. It says a father walks in his integrity. It is a person, is someone who manifests a standard, who's got something, who's got some integrity. And you see that because of living that kind of a life, your children are blessed. Your children aren't blessed because of the stuff you gave them. They're blessed because of the life you led and you manifest before them. Amen. All right. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give your heart. Give me your heart. My son, give me your hand. My son, give me, no, my son, give me your heart. And that's amazing. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. You know, being a dad, being a parent, it's a big deal because you got little lives watching you. And I've heard it said kids are like wet cement. Whatever you put on them, it leaves an impression. So we got to be really understanding of the great, great stewardship we have of God's children as he trusts us to lead them and to guide them and shape them according to the calling and bent in their lives. So we're going to do a good job. Amen. 1 John 3:1, see how very much our Father loves us. See how very much our Father loves us. For he called us his children, and that's what we are. Do you see how much? I mean, this is the Apostle John saying, do you see? Do you behold? Do you apprehend? Do you understand? The Apostle Paul prayed for, I pray that you would get a revelation of the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of God's love. That is a powerful, powerful thing in your life to understand that you are loved and you really are, exclamation mark. We are his children and that is what we are. We're in the middle of a series called Thus Saith the Lord. So I want to talk about the love of God and his love and the way we're supposed to operate in that love. In 1 Corinthians 14:1-39, we were there last week, but you got 12, 13, and 14 of Corinthians. Paul is correcting a church who got a little bit crazy in the realm of spiritual gifts. He said, there's nobody like you in spiritual gifts. You guys are functioning in the whole thing so good. And yet, there's some crazy stuff happening, a bit of abuse we need to correct. And so there he started chapter 14 with pursue love. Say pursue love. Pursue love, he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you should prophesy. Amen? Especially prophesying is tied up in the same verses, pursue love. Pursue love. Love is the most important thing, but pursue love, but also especially earnestly desire that you would prophesy. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking with tongues. Amen? We are a tongue-talking, fire-breathing, prophesying house of God, but we do want to get it right. We do want to do it right. And so we're cruising through the series, and I am going to get to how we deal with the abuses in a couple of weeks, so don't miss that one. Then you can use that to judge your neighbors. Amen? All right. 1 Corinthians 13:2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and all understanding, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. I mean, I have this. I got the gift of prophecy. I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Say all. Like all mysteries and all knowledge. I mean, I would like that guy to be my friend. How do we fix this? Like all mysteries, all knowledge. And listen to this. It says, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains. Move mountains. I mean, if you could move mountains, I would follow you around and take up the offering. Moving mountains is pretty big. Imagine if I could take Boulder Mountain and move it from that end of town to the other. Come on back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to move a mountain. I mean, I would think there's something going on. All understanding, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith. I can move mountains. Look what it says. But if you have a lot of love, say, I am. If you don't have love, I am nothing. If you don't have love, even if you can do all those wonderful things, if you don't have love, I am. Not it's nothing, but I am nothing. I shared this with my wife this morning. She didn't like it because that's not true. No matter what's going on in my life, I'm never nothing with my Heavenly Father. So she was fighting with me no matter what. She said, I'm not accepting that. There's no way I am nothing. I said, in the context of spiritual gifts and everything, honey, imagine her bickering with me on a Sunday morning. Can you believe? And it's Father's Day. God bless her. But she's so convinced that she's loved and nothing can stop that. Even if I'm a big goof up, you know what? He still loves me. He loves me too much to leave me that way. He'll correct me. He'll help me. But no way. I am not nothing. And so, well, Paul's saying, you know what? As far as this goes, you're nothing. Anyway, sorry I had to explain that to you, but it was fresh in my mind. I am nothing. I am nothing without love. All of this, if it's done without love, it doesn't even register. So love is the most important thing. If love is not your motivation to be a dispenser of heavenly favors, just keep it to yourself. Because if it's not loving and if it's not based in love and rooted in love, please stop. All right? All right. Good Samaritan. Say Good Samaritan. It's one who is, right out of the dictionary, it says, it's one who is compassionate and helpful to a person in distress. Good Samaritan. They actually had to make a Good Samaritan law. They made a Good Samaritan law because people would go and help, and then the person you help would sue you. So you'd go, and then something happened. They said, well, they shouldn't have moved me. They shouldn't have done this or shouldn't have done that. So they had to make a Good Samaritan law so that people who tried to help and walked in situations and manifest compassion, they made a Good Samaritan law. Here's what it says. It exempts you from legal liability, a person who gives reasonable aid to strangers in grave physical distress. I mean, some people just don't want help. What is their problem? I mean, but Good Samaritan, it's a Bible story that Jesus had, but we all know it. People in the world know it. In fact, the world has a law called the Good Samaritan Law. Now, Jesus had a teacher who came to him and wanted to test him, and this is all about love. So if we want to talk about love, we're going to talk about how Jesus talked about love. Is that okay? And we're going to use how he said, here's how I'm going to teach you about love. And he used this story. It says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Another thing, please listen. Inheriting eternal life does not mean I get to go to heaven. We've reduced every time we see that to heaven. And we've always done that. You've done it all your life. Everyone who's taught you said that. Therefore, you really believe that. But that's not true. Eternal life isn't something you get later. Eternal life is something you get now. You get eternal life now. Jesus was walking in eternal life. Nicodemus came to him and said, how do I get eternal life? The rich young ruler said, how do I get eternal life? What they were not asking, none of them were saying, how do I get to heaven? It wasn't even in their mindset. They were saying, how do I live like you? How do I get to walk and function in life like you do? I want to be like you. I want that eternal life. I want that to manifest in my life. And he said to them, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, you got religious performance here. Here's a guy who's trying to trap Jesus in his religious performance. He, Jesus, said to him, what's written in the law? Everybody say law. Law. Are we under the law or are we under grace? Are we under the law or are we under grace? Are we under the law or are we under grace? Very good. So Jesus was ministering to people under the law. So when you read the New Testament, many times you're not reading the New Covenant, you're reading the Old Covenant because Jesus is ministering to people who are still under the Old Covenant. So when he came and tested him and he said, what do I got to do to get eternal life? Jesus responded and he said, what is written in the law? And I love this because he says, what's your reading of it? What's your interpretation of it? How do you explain it? So he answered him and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all, say all. Is that a 10 out of 10? Could it be 7.5? It's got to be a 10 out of 10. Does anybody have a meter that you plug in to know when you've done 10 out of 10? Has anybody got one of those? Does anybody here ever love God with all your heart? Like there wasn't a little bit of room for like the Toronto Maple Leafs in there. I mean, it was all like you love God with all your heart. There was no defection anywhere. How did you know that? How were you absolutely sure of that? How were you convinced that I love God with all my heart and you're absolutely convinced of that? How? How do you do that? How do you measure that? How do you have that kind of just like assurance that I mean it, Pastor, I love him with all my heart? Well, good for you, because I don't even know what that means. So sometimes I question myself and I go, am I really giving it all? Then it's not just all your heart, it's with all your soul. I mean, your mind, your will, your emotions, with all your strength. Like every day, I am all of my strength. I am loving God with all my strength. There's no room for our puppy dog, my wife, or anybody. Giving it all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to... Settle down, settle down. Wow, got some old people here today, George. All right. With all your mind, like your whole mind. How many's mind is drifting right now? You're in church, I'll be honest now. Just a little bit. All your mind, and then your neighbor as yourself. Say, law. That was the law. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. Really? So literally what happens at that moment, he starts to reflect a little bit and he thinks about what he just said and he went, wow, do that and you will live. Okay. But wanting to justify himself, he said, who is my neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Is anybody that you actually have a problem with that you don't want to hang out with? Is anybody you don't like? Is anybody a neighbor? How many have a neighbor that's a bit annoying? I actually am the annoying neighbor. So I got senior citizens on this side, senior citizens. They barely make a peep. It's me. So I'm the guy. I try to be nice. I smile. I wave. You know. I'm the guy. Our neighborhood, they're grass Nazis, you know? What I mean is, like, they take care of their grass. It is trimmed. Like, it's trimmed all around. It, you know, beautiful edges, just cut beautifully. I won't let the dog pee on any of the lawn. I make sure we get to the park because I said, these lawns are too nice to pee on. And I feel awful if Coco made a brown spot somewhere on, because these people take care of their lawns. And sometimes I drive home, I pull in the driveway, and I can see them looking at me. And then they'll kind of look at the lawn, and I'm like, I just pull in the garage, hit the door down, and just, it's hard. It's hard loving these people because they're just, it's hard. But wanting to justify himself, he said, okay, if that's a condition for eternal life, then who's my neighbor? We better define neighbor because I don't know about that, you know. Who is my neighbor? So Jesus then went into a story. And he answered him and he said, a certain man went down, say went down. A certain man down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. It's a pretty brutal situation, leaving him half dead. Here's a picture of the Jericho Road. Have you ever seen the Jericho Road? That's the Jericho Road. That's a pretty miserable place right there. But that road twists and winds and goes all the way down from Jerusalem all the way down to Jericho. Now, a certain man went alone down the Jericho Road. Jerusalem to Jericho, it's a 4,000-foot drop. It's 17 miles going down. It's called the Way of Blood. It's called the Pass of Adullam. in, which is the way of blood. It's called the way of blood because there's all kinds of caves. And going down that road, you travel with other people, because if you go alone, you will be plagued by thieves and robbers, because there's all those little crevices and caves, and there's people ready to pounce on you and take you for everything you have. So Jesus is telling a story about a certain man, a real man, who went down that road, and they all knew the road. They all understood it. They all understood the dangers. So he talked about something that was common to every one of them. They all understood the road. Has anybody been down Wellington Street lately? How horrible is that? I mean, for me, that's like the Jericho Road right there. I mean, they're always working on it. Something's getting... How many times living in the city have we dug up Commissioner and Wellington? How many times? And now you got to avoid that. I feel like Jericho Road runs through this whole city. You cannot get anywhere in London right now without running into something. Anyways, are we suffering for Jesus or what? I mean, I'm getting ripped off because I got to drive 25 different places. Just the gas cost alone is crushing me. Jesus, help me. All right. It's the Jericho Road. It's a passive adjuvant. It's the way of blood. Now, by chance, a certain priest, I just brought it into present day for you so you could understand, a pastor. Not me, of course, because I'm a good pastor. But a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, say saw him, when he saw him. He saw a half-dead, bruised, wounded individual, stolen everything from him. He saw him, and he passed by on the other side. The whole crowd went, Thank you. Likewise, say likewise. You know what that means? Same thing happened. Likewise, all right, just interpreting. Likewise, a Levite. Well, what's a Levite, Pastor? Well, that would be church staff like George. So George, a worship leader, George, church staff, George is walking by, and he saw. George looked, he's a goner. I don't know. He ain't going to make it no matter what I do, so yeah. Nobody here to see that I'm walking by. Walk on by, boom, 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 boom. Walk on by. That was the theme song of this church right here. This guy, this pastor, this tower. When he arrived at the place, he came and he looked and he passed by on the other side. So the pastor, church staff passed by. Now let me take you all the way back to the law. Say the law. These are people who had memorized the law. Memorized it like they could give it to you rote. They had memorized the law. You couldn't be a priest or a Levite unless you'd memorized the law. Let me give you some law. You ready? Exodus 23, 4 and 5. If you meet your enemy's ox, your enemy, say enemy. If I run across my enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. I mean, this isn't talking about your enemy himself. This is talking about your enemy's belongings. I mean, you're not just to care for your enemy, but you're to care for his stuff. I mean, not if you saw him all messed up, but if you saw his ox gone astray or his donkey gone astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see a donkey of one who hates you, now it's not your enemy, but you know that person hates you. You know that person hates me. That person hates me, and look, their donkey has run loose. If the person hates you, you're to go grab that donkey. You're to help that donkey. You're to pursue that donkey and deal with it. So here's guys that were law keepers who were not keeping the law. And so Jesus is talking about these people under the law, and he's sharing a story with them about someone who was in deep need and they didn't care. How many of you are just fascinated by my shirt? How many just can barely pay attention because my shirt is so awesome? It's just... I was at Bob and Larissa's in the spare room, and it was a shower curtain, and I took it off and had it put together. I mean, if you see and visit someone, they got nice shower curtains, you think it would make a nice shirt, you get it. All right, you get it, all right? All right, but there was a certain Samaritan, boom, boom. Say Samaritan. Now you got to know, here's Jesus talking to a whole bunch of Jewish people, and he has now picked the people that are most despised by the Jewish people. So here's Jesus, he's bringing in, he's introducing to the story a person we hate. Wonderful. And there was a Samaritan came by. So you had the priest, we had one of our religious leaders and church staff, and then all of a sudden the Samaritan came by. Oh my God. He journeyed to where he was, and when he came there, he saw him. Say, saw him. And he had compassion on him. What is Jesus teaching about? He's teaching about love. He's teaching about love, because this guy questioned, how do I live and experience the kind of divine life that you're walking in? So he said he had compassion on him, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured in oil, poured in wine, all of which would cost you money. And he set him on his own animal, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. He went to him. He bandaged him. He poured in oil. He poured in wine. He set him on his own animal, and he brought him to the inn. Here's the inn here, folks. Here it is. There's people out there right now on the streets of London, frustrated with all the road construction, cursing out the window. They need help. And you need to get them into Impact Church, where we can care for them. We can bind up their wounds. We can minister life and health to them. You need to get them to the inn. Amen. If you love people, come on. A radical confrontation of self-righteousness. He makes the hero a Samaritan. These people are looking on. This guy right now is so annoyed. He can't believe it. I came to test Jesus, and now he's wrecking me with his story. But there's a radical confrontation of self-righteousness, and he makes the hero a Samaritan. John 8:48 says, then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly, you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? When they wanted to insult Jesus, you know, you're a Samaritan, aren't you? You got a devil. When they wanted to insult Jesus, they said, you're a Samaritan. But Jesus makes the Samaritan the hero of the story. But being moved with compassion. Move, say moved. Being moved. How many times Jesus was moved with compassion? The word compassion means, Merriam-Webster dictionary, sympathetic, conscious of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. So he was manifesting compassion. The Greek word is splach, nizomai, splach. You got to get the, it's splach, splach, nizomai, splach. I got to get a drink of water. But it means to be deeply, it's not to have a bowel movement, but it's to have your, the definition, to have your bowels deeply moved. It's where literally inside, you ever been in a situation where you got a pain in your gut? It's something hurts deep inside of you. He saw that and something hurt inside of him because he's so identified with the pain in that other person. Some people just walk on by, but you can't. You see that, you say, I must get involved. I don't want to see another person, no matter who it is, in a place of pain and in difficulty. Say love, love. Compassion rarely dies from a lack of vision. It dies from inconvenience. Compassion rarely dies from a lack of vision. It dies from inconvenience. How many would like to do something, but you know what? It would wreck my day. I got things to do. I'm going places. I'd like to get involved, but I got a schedule. You know, sometimes you have to learn how to say no, right? Because sometimes you're just busy. Amen? You know, so you got to learn to say a sanctified no. Sometimes when people are in need or there's something going on, I always believe somebody else can take care of this. Amen? I mean, the church is getting bigger now, and I'm sure there's a lot more people that can pitch in. You don't need my help all the time, I'm sure. Compassion rarely dies from a lack of vision. It dies from inconvenience. Back to the text. He said, on the next day when he departed, now he's taken him down, he's bound him up, he's poured in oil and wine, he's brought healing ointment to him, and then he brings him and takes him to an inn. And then he gets him to the inn, takes care of him, spends the night. I want to make sure this guy makes it through the night. He spent time with him. And when he departed the next day, he took out 2 denarii, which is a couple of days' wages, and he said, look, here's this to the innkeeper. And he said to him, could you take care of him? And whatever more more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So I'm not just helping now. I'm not just getting engaged, but I spent the night to make sure he's okay. And I'm going to make sure that this guy makes it. I'm going to, whatever it takes to get this guy restored, I'm going to make sure it gets done. And he said, whatever it takes, please take care of it and I will restore it to you. So he turned then to the fella who came to test him, and he turned to him and he said, so, and what was the question? Oh, by the way, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Because he's trying to justify himself, right? Who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? So which one of these three do you think was neighbor to him? That was Jesus' question now to the religious folks. Who actually played the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said to him, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. That's love. That's love. That's love. The Samaritan teaches us this. You ready? Opportunities are everywhere. You're going to have opportunities today. There's opportunities to care for someone else besides you. There's opportunities to not just see things, but to get involved and engage things. Open your eyes, open your heart, open your wallet, and repeat as necessary. That's really important because we want to manifest the God kind of love. Amen? Amen? All right. Would you give up a little of your temporary to touch a lost, broken person's eternity? Would you give up a little bit of your temporary to touch someone else and assure them of their eternity? John 13:34. If we got this verse, if the whole world got this verse, we'd be done. We wouldn't need anything else. I have threatened several times that I'm going to make this the text for a whole year. This is going to be the text all year. And I'm feeling like it might be next year. Because if we could just take one text and we could devour that text and we could slam it down deep in our spirits and bear fruit with it, this one text would change the world. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as how do I got to love you? You see, in the old covenant, in the law, and how many here are under the law? How many here are under grace? How many are under the new covenant? Well, this is the new covenant. The old covenant was do your very best. The new covenant is do God's very best. The old covenant was give it your best shot. The new covenant is give it what he has done. Love others as I have loved you. That's a whole different standard. That's a whole different standard. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you should also love one another. So not the best that you can or the way that you love yourself, but as Jesus loved you. I don't want a lot of people to love me like they love themselves. You ever observed how some people love themselves? It's not pretty. Some people have a hard time loving themselves. I don't want that standard. And the standard that God gave us is that we're to love others, everyone, every other, we're to love them as he's loved us. You understand how much he's loved you? See, Jesus' whole reason for telling the story was so that he could get these guys out of a law-based mindset, so that he could challenge them that your only response to this is, God, help me. Our only response to this should be, God, help me. Because honestly, what God is asking you to do, you can't do. You can't do it. There's not a chance that you would love others as he loves you. It's impossible. And that's where each and every one of us has to cry out and say, mercy. God, give me mercy. And that's what Jesus was always looking for. He put the law on steroids to try to challenge them that whatever you have constructed to have your relationship with God and others, it is faulty if it does not find its source in God himself. Happy Father's Day. All right. It's not a call to religious performance, but it's an indictment on a whole fallen humanity. It's not you can't and you don't and you never will. It really is. That's what it is. You can't, you don't, and you never will. So we should be crying out for mercy. So I can manifest God's love, though. You can. Isn't that great? Because you can. God would never ask us to love like he loves and then not make it so in our lives. So we really can. So when we do cry out mercy, when we do cry out grace, there is provision from God himself to get this done. And we can do it. And the world is literally looking for heaven on earth. The world is looking for communities where this kind of love is not talked about and preached. And we don't preach the law kind of love, do your best, but we literally all get baptized in his love. And there's a supernatural manifestation of his love that touches each and every one. And when people walk in, they see that kind of selfless expression. It says, when they see your love for one another, they're going to know that you're really children of God. And we can do this. We can do this. It's not through my performance, but through my relationship with God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, hope, you might say, I hope for that. I hope to see that someday. Well, you know what? That hope won't be disappointed because God's love has been poured, not just measured, but poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Amen. You've got it. You've got the capacity to do it. You just got to lean into him. You got to meditate on that love. You got to turn away from your striving and your ability. You got to realize that love, Lord, let your love that is in me explode today in every person I see. Let my eyes see what you see. Let my hands touch what you want to touch. Let me be engaged in what you do. So where is the Jericho Road? Where is it? Where is it? It's in our neighborhoods. Where is it? It's at work. It's at work. You got people right now on the Jericho Road. You got people that are half dead, bleeding, and dying. Where is it? It's people sitting near you right now. There's people sitting near you right now that are on the Jericho Road. Might be here today, wandered in today because they're hopeless and in despair and are hoping somebody can help me. Where are they? They're in your family. Happy Father's Day. Sometimes we all got Jericho Road things in our family, but no, you could be the miracle. You could be the breakthrough. You could bring the love of God into a circumstance that may seem impossible, but God can bring that breakthrough because nothing's impossible with him. And nothing's impossible with those who believe. Amen.